Today on The Grave Talks, Oppression to Redemption, a conversation with Don Keel. Sometimes ghost stories are very straightforward and easy to digest. An entity floating, strange voice or noise in the night, maybe an orb of light. This isn't one of those stories. This is a story filled with bizarre experiences and interactions with things that are nearly impossible to comprehend or understand. Experiences that will make almost anyone question their sanity. But unfortunately, these events are all too real for John Keel. This is his story today on The Grave Talks.
I would have to say when I was a kid, probably 4 or 5, I remember being at my grandmother's house and lying in bed, and I saw I guess what you would typically consider as a fairy flying through the air, pulling almost like a little chariot behind it. I remember it clear as day. And it scared me. And the family was having a party down on the lake about a half a mile through the woods. And I remember getting up and just running through the woods to get to the party. But I would have to say at that point, is when my interest began.
What an interesting thing to see. I mean, it's very fantastical. Describe to me, you know, if somebody didn't know what this were to look like, size, you know, what were you seeing? You know, I know you said fairy, sure. but for someone who's doing a reference point on that, what would you describe what you were seeing there?
Okay, so it was like a bluish white in color, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I remember it was about the size of maybe 2 shoe boxes back to back, and very fluid, moving continually. You could see little horses. And you could see this little character with reins in its hands. And there was actually a little bit of facial expressions that I could see. And it was just coming at me, towards me in the air. And then...
what happened to it?
I didn't stick around to find out.
You just got out of there when it was coming towards you.
It was coming towards me, yeah. And this was a really, really big house. And it wasn't a house that I was accustomed to really to sleeping in. Mm-hmm. So I and then, of course, I had to hit the dirt road and go through these woods and so on and so forth to get back. But that's honestly, Tony, that's probably the best description I could give you of that.
I mean, what on earth is going through your mind at the time? And I want to hear, you know, later, you know, thoughts on it with some perspective. But I mean, when we think of ghosts or paranormal things, we think of shadow people, we think of apparitions, we think of noises. We don't think of, you know, what essentially looks like glowing children's toys, you know, flying right around the room, you know, and I know there's talk of fairies here and there, but I mean, what on earth are you thinking is going on here?
Yeah. Well, you know, at that age, I think I was frightened,
yeah,
you know, more than anything. Looking back at it, it was kind of, I suppose, a minute initiation into the paranormal.
Uh-huh. And I want to kind of pick up from what went on in your life after that, but I want to hear what your perspective is on this now that obviously all these years have gone by, and you have much more experience in this, and we'll kind of build into that, but quickly, what the hell do you think that was?
That's a good question. you know, and those same questions can pop up today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Tony. I think things that, you know, certainly we all hear that a child is more open
sure.
to these types of things. Later on in life, I found out, you know, that a grown man can be as well. But a crossover, you know, I was allowed to see something, maybe to maybe it was a cue just to set me on a path to mm-hmm. Spark my imagination and allow these things to continue to occur.
You know? Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a difficult one to share. You know, just because, you know, when you hear ghost stories in general can be difficult to share. But that one where you have things of that nature, and that's what I've seen over the years is when people have stories of things like fairies or things like, you know, gnome type creatures or whatever they are. They're always, it's like, wow, now that's out there. But it's really not, because I think sometimes we almost take them too literal, where it's like, well, that must be exactly what it is. It's a fairy driving a carriage and flying around the house. Probably not. But but that's how it's appeared to you on that day. It appeared in that state. Do you think it was something that thought, well, this is how I'm going to show myself to this child? And that's just kind of how it manifested itself?
That could be. You know, my experience has been that a lot of this phenomena could appear in a million different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened to appear to me in that way.
Yeah.
I really don't know specifically. I tend to agree with you. I think it was more of a cue to spark my imagination and to allow me at an early age to know that these types of things can occur.
So you run out of the house, you go down that dirt road to the party. What happens?
Well, there was a big family gathering, probably, you know, a lot of inebriated people. So it was...
sure, the reaction's great.
yeah, you know, here's the little kid talking about fairies. Well, you know,
yep.
Come join the fun, basically.
Sure.
And I think I may have slept down at the cottage that night.
So, you know, days pass, you know, things, do you bring this up again, you know, to a more sober family, or do you just go, they're never going to get it?
Yeah, I kind of put that experience on the shelf. It wasn't until the past few years that I actually consciously started remembering that.
Really?
Yeah.
So it kind of was like a repressed memory. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if it was. It wasn't. I always remembered that it had happened. I just when everything else started occurring, I had no reason to really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
In any kind of what was that?
Sure.
Type of way.
Sure. So you have the experience, time passes on. How does life progress?
So life progressed pretty normal. Fairly normal. There was a few outer body experiences I would have, I'd say, in my high school years and into early adulthood.
Now, out of body experience, explain to me how you define that and walk us through, you know, maybe one or two of the more profound experiences that you had with that.
Okay. So the first time that it happened was it's a feeling of your call it your soul, your light body, something attached to your consciousness is being able to leave your body. Mm-hmm. And the very first time it happened, it was terrifying because it felt as if I'm leaving and something else is trying to get in. Is what my thoughts were, intellectually trying to piece that together. Mm-hmm.
What were you doing when you had the experience? Was this in a dream, or how did this occur?
No, I was lying in bed. I was in a relaxed state. I was at a friend's house, and I remember they had an old wooden cross on the wall behind me, and I grabbed that off the wall, and I remember asking for it to stop because it really scared me, which it did. It eventually did. And then progressively, though, I've really learned to enjoy those experiences. There can be a strong sense of elation, floating, if you will, mm-hmm. when those have occurred.
So, I mean, tell me specifically, you have this experience, it feels like something is coming to you and something is coming out of you. Where do you consciously then leave your body? Are you seeing places? Are you seeing areas that your physical body is not at? What happened in those specific incidents that you went through?
That specific incident was very scary. So that specific incident, it really felt like I was completely out of control, and that something else was pushing me out. And I see that a little differently today. But so I tried to stop it as soon as it started to begin. Mm-hmm. So that specific, you asked me about my first experience with that, and I stopped that as soon as I could. So maybe about, it really terrified me. It probably stopped about 10 minutes into it.
So when you
anxiety.
When you say you felt like it was pushing you out, what were you experiencing?
So I was experiencing a heightened sense of anxiety because it was a sensation I had never felt before. Mm-hmm. I was experiencing, I think I was able to see myself a couple feet above myself in the bed for like a very, very brief instant, which completely terrified me. And I remember fighting it. I remember it was a real like fighting sensation. And a lot of anxiety, just trying to get back into the center of my being.
So when you're feeling this and you're essentially viewing yourself from a little bit of a distance, do you have any control over your physical body? Like, are you looking at yourself almost like a video game character, you know, where it's like, I'm going to use the controller to move myself around and watch myself from this perspective? Or are you, are you completely no control over that, and you just know you're out here, but you can see your body?
Correct. And you know, I'll say once again, later on in life when that has occurred, no, I have not been able to control my body like a video game.
Yeah.
But it's been a whole different ball game as far as the anxiety being gone surrounding that.
Well, I mean, it's an experience, especially if you've never had it before. I mean, that can be extremely terrifying, especially if you don't even know what's going on. I would imagine, I mean, in my mind, I'd be going through, like, am I dying? Like, is this a heart attack? Right. Is this a stroke? Is, like, what the hell is going on? If I'm seeing myself, granted, I have knowledge of what out-of-body experiences are, but I think the first thing I'm going to is, shit, I'm dying.
<You know? laughs> Right.
But
exactly.
But, you know, so tell me more about how that's progressed for you over the years. Once you kind of recognize, you know, what's going on, you know, the more you have experience in things, anxiety does tend to go down. What has happened to you over the years with out of body experiences, and how did you learn to appreciate them, and what's gone on in them?
Okay. So it seems to be like about every, I know some people can, you know, quote, you know, astral travel, and they can, some people are really good at this and they can do it on will and so on and so forth. That hasn't been my experience with that. It's been probably every 2 or 3 years, I'll have a major event of that kind where it feels like you're floating, you can see your surroundings. It's almost like you're in an alternate realm, because you can be physically in the same place, but there's different furniture and so on and so forth. I've had it where it feels like you're flying at a tremendous speed down like a wormhole with fantastical colors all around you as you're traveling through this. So I've had some very pleasant experiences with it, but I am not a you know, it compared to some,
you can't do it on demand.
Yeah, I can't do it on demand. I've heard of people that just, you know, like you said, with the joystick, can just do this and, you know, travel around and have a great time.
So when it does happen to you, where does it take you? Are you just dropped in random locations? Are you just kind of floating around the neighborhood? Or what's been your experience?
My experience has been it's... There's a feeling, there's a physical feeling attached to it that's wonderful. It's like light and kind of euphoric. And there's been a few occasions where I have traveled around seemingly the neighborhood, but everything seems a little bit different at the same time when you're doing this. So it's like like I said, it really seems to me like you're in another realm. Mm-hmm. But it's coexisting, you know, side by side, if you will, with this one. And then there's been those occasions where I've traveled down, like that light tube I was describing, that's been wonderful. There was one, I call this the scan. This was, right when things got really, really weird in Southern California a few years ago. It was actually right before everything got unbelievably wild.
And when you say everything got unbelievably wild, what are you referring to?
Well, it was right before I started seeing UFOs. It was right before, about 4 months before I had an angelic encounter. And at the same token, it was right before, it was a mixed bag that there was not all of the experiences were pleasant at all.
So when you say things got wild, you're speaking more personally to you that things got wild. You're not speaking of the society or something as a whole.
No.
Okay.
No. My world.
Okay.
Got flipped upside down. Okay. For sure.
So tell me about that experience, that one that kind of seemed to almost be the catalyst to right before all these things.
Okay. Well, I was lying in bed next to my ex-wife, and I had just lied down. My daughter was in her bedroom asleep. I think my ex was still awake at the time, but I had just lied down, and no sooner than I did, I felt, so this is where all my outer body experiences in the past have felt like a little bit different. It literally felt like someone took my light body, etheric self, however you want to describe that, out of my body, stood me up next to the bed. I'm looking down at myself, I'm looking down at my ex, and I felt like a scan go from the top of my seemingly etheric head all the way down to my feet and then all the way back up. And then I felt this same presence turn me perpendicular again and then literally put me back into my body. So it was very different than my other outer body experiences.
Now, were you, when you had this experience, was this a case where you said you were just kind of laying down, relaxing like the first time, or were you in a dream state? How did this occur?
No, I wasn't in a dream state. I had literally just lied down, like, okay. Within 30 seconds.
It just kind of clicked.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I got up after immediately after that had happened. Immediately when I was put back in my body, I woke and I checked on my daughter. It was intense.
So you're having these experiences, maybe not every day by any means, but on a semi-regular basis, even if it may be separated by a couple of years. These are experiences most people never have in their life. So the fact that you're having several of them over the course of some time, there's, kind of a pattern to it. What is going through your mind when you're having these experiences afterwards? Are you thinking immediately, this is paranormal, this is something otherworldly, this is ghostly, this is whatever you want to call it? Or are you thinking, is there something wrong with me? Is there something I need to look into that, that I'm having these experiences like this without dreaming? I'm just laying down and having, like, is there something that's not firing right? Wait, what's going through your mind?
I've learned to handle these types of experiences, better. So let me back up a little bit. In 2009, I got into contemplative prayer and meditation in 2008, and I was doing this for a couple of years, and I befriended a priest, and he showed me how to say the rosary. I didn't grow up with any of this. And I had while saying the rosary, I had a kundalini awakening, which is, I didn't know what was happening at the time, which is just like a psychic spiritual energy that starts at the base of your root chakra, and it can open up in some people. And then, but that in itself is very bizarre. And it took me a good few months to even realize what was occurring. So I got used to weird things happening just because now I have to live with every time I pray and meditate.
Yeah.
This, I'm an electrician by trade, and it feels like you're being electrocuted, but it's with a, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've heard the analogy made recently. And it spoke to me because I had an experience years ago where it felt like something was moving through me like a cloud. Right. And I almost want to, I look back on it and I go, maybe it was sleep paralysis, maybe not. There's a lot of weird factors in there because I moved. But the way I can describe it, I always say it felt like a cloud moved through me. But someone else recently described a very similar experience on our other show. And they described it as almost like static electricity kind of moving through you. And I'm like, yes, that's it. Like a lot of it. And not necessarily being bad or painful, but certainly anxiety provoking and bizarre as hell when it's happening.
Right, Right. Certainly if it's never happened before.
Yeah.
In my case, I was saying the rosary, so I knew it couldn't, I had the inclination, obviously, that it was nothing bad.
Mm-hmm.
But those types of things, I think opened up, my perception, I think, to be able to maybe see more eventually than I had previously.
Almost making you more sensitive to things. I guess the comparison could almost be made someone who's living life that doesn't know they need glasses. Or they do know they need glasses, right. And they finally get them, and they're like, oh my God, that's what leaves look like on a tree. Where right. You can kind of sense that, they're there, but you don't realize just how crisp they can be and all the details that you end up seeing. Is that an analogy that makes sense?
Oh, man, that's great. Okay. Absolutely.
So you're having these experiences, like I said, on a somewhat regular basis. You're married at the time. Do you have this discussion with your ex-wife? Do you share with her what you're experiencing?
Eventually she knew that I had this Kundalini awakening, and mm-hmm. and my poor kids, when I would put my daughters down to bed, it would be in a dark room, and I'd be, after I've got them down, I'd stay in the room and meditate, and the Kundalini would start going. And later on in life, they told me they could see my body kind of moving weird, the poor girls.
But remember, Dad, when you used to do that in their room? Yeah.
Yeah, when he used to wig out. Yeah. Oh, gosh. But my ex, I think it was hard for her. Eventually she encountered some of the things that I was, so, but it was difficult for her.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, because I want to hear about how things really kind of started changing, where we get to seeing UFOs, the angelic encounter, things that weren't so good. But before we get there, and maybe we're jumping ahead for a second, but we'll just do it for a second. What did your ex-wife experience that kind of helped verify to her, my husband's not crazy?
Yeah. Well, the flashes of light and the orbs in the sky, okay. she witnessed a couple times. She witnessed a particular event that frightened her, but she did. It was this is gonna. It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre.
Hey, we've already crossed the bizarre line. So for it. Okay. We crossed the bizarre line 30 minutes ago. So, all right. So I guess we can kind of go anywhere with this.
Yeah, very true. A 747. About 1,000 feet, completely silent, split in two, at night, starting at one point in the sky, going into a complete V formation where there was one side by side, and they went at the same speed, just away from each other, traveling away from each other. And that really scared her. She ran inside.
So she sees this in the sky, and initially she thinks it's just a 747, and then
we both were outside sky uh-huh. watching when it happened. A lot of these occurrences, I've come to find out, are symbolic in nature, perhaps it was my cue that we both were going to go. It was both of our cues that we were going to go our own way. That's one okay. way to look at it.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, and the fact that you're seeing this, do you believe that in the sky there was an object that looked like a 747 that literally split in two? Or is this more so a vision that you are seeing in the sky, and say, I was sitting next to you, staring up there, would I have seen that 747? Or is that something that only the two of you would have seen because you were kind of both in tune to what was going on with both of you at that moment?
What you just said.
Okay.
I think that was specifically, I think some of these events can be placed into a single observer's consciousness or multiple observers, but it most definitely was intended for both of us to see. I do not think that there was a physical 747 that split into two.
It's that new Dreamliner too. It goes two different directions. You get up there high enough and it's like, all right, who's going to Albuquerque and who's going to Boston?
Right.
And it just, right. Yeah, you just kind of, yeah, saves time and money.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. No, but, you're right.
I mean, when you see this, I mean, obviously you've gone through a life with a lot of bizarre things that are not very explainable. So when you're now an adult, and you see this in the sky and your ex-wife sees it as well, what the hell are you thinking? I mean, what's going through your mind at this point, and what is she thinking?
She's probably thinking maybe divorce does look like a good idea.
I'm seeing airplanes separate above the sky with him. Like, right. This is not what I signed up for.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, how that there's a power that's so much greater than us that can enter. Well, you get a feeling of how small you actually are when you witness something like this. It's awe-inspiring, and it's a I can't believe that just happened type of shock to it. But I've gotten used to those types of things to where I really enjoy them when they do occur. But when something like that, I think when you first witness something like that, it's a shock to your system. Your whole, you know, view on reality can never really be the same after that. After experiencing something like that, because it goes, you know, against physics, right? And it's just so unfathomable that something like that can occur.
Mm-hmm.
That it can really shake you to the core, and perhaps, you know, initially that's what it's meant to do.
Yeah. So, I know you'd said, mentioning seeing UFOs, that obviously would be kind of a UFO-esque experience. Were there other things in the sky that you had seen shortly or in this time period?
Yeah, certainly. So, I was doing a side job behind a used car lot in Southern California. It was broad daylight. And I'm on a ladder, and I have the inclination to look up, and I look up, and there's nothing to reference it against. So I'm guesstimating that it was a little over 1,000 feet, but it was a full on cube that was on its axis that was slowly rotating. It looked glassy. And every angle was clearly seen, and when it rotated, you could see the sunlight sparkle off of its rotation. So that was maybe 6 years ago. That was my first conscious, like, okay.
And this is just sitting stationary in the air?
Stationary, not moving, other than slowly rotating on its axis. When I say its axis, like its point of the cube was, you know, pointing.
Sure. Like it's balancing on one of its corners essentially and
right.
Kind of turning around in circles.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly. I remember that at the same exact 10 seconds I'm witnessing this, a car accident. I hear a tremendous car accident. And I look across the street, and there's a gathering of about 10 people, and I boogie down the ladder, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I was going to approach this crowd of people and have them look up as well. It's a good thing I wasn't able to make it across the street, because I would have just seemed like a complete nut job. And, you know, people involved in a car accident do not want to have some random come up to that and say, look, UFO.
UFO, car accident. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Right. So, and by the time I did reach the street and looked back up, it was gone.
Do you think the two were connected?
I've wondered about that. I'll say again, which I hope we have time where I'll to my angelic encounter, but yeah. I do feel that you know, the universe is a great big place, and no doubt there's life everywhere, and that there really is nuts and bolts types of things that go on. But a lot of my experiences with the UFOs and the orbs of light, I feel and know to be angelic in nature. Maybe there was something tied in with the car accident.
Tell me about the angelic encounter and what happened there. How did that all get set up?
Okay. There was a time that, things had gotten very stressful, in my marriage, with work, and, some really weird things started happening.
Like almost, what?
Really strange occurrences, with not only people, but synchronicities. That it was a time where, like, think of the law of attraction, but like in the worst possible way.
Okay.
Like every hour, every other hour, every interaction with anybody you come in contact with is of a really negative kind, really negative experience, to where like you really feel like you've landed on another planet.
Sure.
Like you just, it was like mathematically impossible.
Yeah. That wraps up the first part of our conversation. In part two, what convinced John's ex that he was in fact living with these bizarre experiences and they were real? What was the bizarre cube John saw hovering in the sky? And how did it connect with a tragic car accident? After many negative experiences seemingly surrounding John and his family daily, how did he find himself having an angelic encounter? And did John feel that him and his family were being oppressed by a demonic force for a period of time that was hell-bent on destroying him and his family? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.